You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. We'll get back to the phone lines in just a second, but let's hear from some national people talking about the Browns' decision to bench Johnny Manziel. Let's start with Lewis Riddick from ESPN.
Johnny lost his awareness as to where he's at in his career and his development. And that stuff needed to be put to the side. Peter King just did a feature on Carson Palmer.
Terrific.
Okay? About what it takes to prepare at the highest level. Carson Palmer's been in the league forever. Heisman Trophy winner, number one draft pick overall. And look at the kind of preparation he's putting in. When you see guys doing that as a player in the locker room, you see your quarterback who's been in the league that long still working like that. That has a trickle-down effect on the rest of the team. You're going, well, man, if this guy is secure as he is in himself and his career is doing that, I've got to pick it up. Johnny, people may not understand just how important that is. Cleveland has been down in the doldrums forever. Your lead guy is now not showing that kind of commitment. What, you don't think that really affects other players? Of course it does. Look, he brought this all on himself, so people need to stop blaming Mike Pettine, blaming the media for riding Johnny too hard, because that's not the issue. Johnny brought this on himself.
And there it is, Lewis Riddick echoing the sentiments that you may have heard a few times here on this show, that right now the only person to be disappointed with is Johnny Manziel. Here's John Gruden. We know he's as big a Johnny Manziel supporter as there is on this planet. Here's what Gruden had to say.
When you look at the history of Manziel, the fact that he was in rehab, I'm sure Mike Pettine, Jimmy Haslam, everybody at the top of the Browns organization laid down the rules, the parameters of what they wanted him to do to rebuild their trust. And obviously they feel betrayed. And when you're the quarterback, the face of the franchise, the leader of the team, you got to show self-control. You have to show self-discipline. These coaches are tired. These owners are disgusted, especially when they're 2-8. And they got to wake up and see their quarterback betraying their trust on some Twitter or Instagram or whatever the heck it was, video, dancing, having a good time. That was part of the protocol, and he's paying the consequences. He's got to grow up. He's got to do what he says he wants to do to prove he wants to be a pro quarterback.
And that's coming from the biggest Manziel supporter that there is. And I think that's really what it is. If you haven't read it, go read the Monday Morning Quarterback article with Carson Palmer, because it gives you a real understanding of the absolute dedication and focus it takes to be a successful quarterback in the NFL. And this is a guy who's been in the league for a decade who still is putting in that kind of time. So when you're a neophyte to the game like Johnny Manziel, when you're somebody who's coming from the most simplistic of offenses at Texas A&M to a complex NFL offense, it requires even more of you than it does of Carson Palmer. And that article will give you the clearest and best illustration, kind of peel back the curtain of what it means to work as a quarterback and what the kind of singular focus and dedication it takes to be a successful NFL quarterback.
It definitely does. And I think, and I was the same type of learner as Carson Palmer. As he describes it, he has to write things out. And Nathan, something that I'll do, and I actually found them the other day. I have a book bag or like a messenger bag of like a series of notebooks from years of my career that are, the pages are wilted almost because of the amount of ink per page. You know how, like when you write on a page, it like starts to, you know, crumple up a little bit when you write. I rewrote everything because that's the way I learned. I rewrote it and I rewrote it and I rewrote it until I got it. And then I wasn't one of those guys that necessarily learned it on a grease board by someone else drawing it. Or I wasn't one of those guys that went out on the field and once I saw it, you know, in a walkthrough tempo, I wrapped my head around. Once I rewrote it, the number of times that I needed to, whatever that specific defense was, I rewrote it over and over and over again until I got it. And my whole point in saying that is that's the way Carson Palmer learns.
Right.
He has figured it out as a starter in the National Football League that's the way he learns. Are there quarterbacks that maybe put in as much, if not a little bit more work? I'm sure there are, than Carson Palmer. You know, and I can't speak for anyone else because that's, you know, who was featured in that Monday Morning Quarterback article. But I'm sure there are other guys that have to do less. Like Brady might be a film junkie. Or Rodgers, I know, was a film junkie. He wrote things out, but not to the extent that Carson Palmer. But he spent, while Carson Palmer might watch, I don't know, 8 hours of film, 10 hours of film. Rodgers might watch 14, but he spends that extra 6 hours, 6 or 7 hours on film. Carson Palmer spends rewriting it and seeing the script. And now, with the virtual reality technology, that is an asset that Carson Palmer is using and featuring as a part of the game plan out there in Arizona.
It certainly is, and obviously it is, you know, something that is another tool to help these players develop and master their crafts. Finally, one more national perspective. This one I probably don't agree with. John Clayton from ESPN.
He's pretty much lost the faith of his head coach, because I think you can see that the confidence just isn't there, because, you know, the repeated behaviors off the field just make him, there's no trust right there that he's going to do the right thing. And you can see Mike Pettine's fighting for his job. He's 2-8. And I think he's always felt more comfortable with Josh McCown at quarterback. But during the bye week, you can see they worked with ownership. The general manager talked about it, said, okay, let's give Johnny a chance. There's 6 games left. We'll see where he is as a quarterback. But with him going out and partying, Mike Pettine basically looked at it and said, you know what, this is not what we want as a leader. We'll go a different direction. We'll move him down to the third quarterback, and it means his days in Cleveland in the next couple of years probably are going to be numbered.
I don't know that that's the case, that his days are numbered. I do think that at some point when you draft a guy like Johnny Manziel, you knew what you were getting into, and you have to decide as an organization, can we tolerate this? Can we live with this? And if so, he plays, and if not, you move on from him. Yeah. So I think that's something that they're going to have to get their head around as well. But I hope we get a chance to see him play again this year. And I like that Mike Pettine has left the door open for that.
Yeah, and I agree. And I think that while John Clayton and many national analysts have their ins to different buildings to get the inside word, what John Clayton just said is a direct, you know, or actually it's the polar opposite of what Mike Pettine said about Johnny Manziel. And to your point, the fact that Johnny can play his way or earn his opportunity again. What that is, I don't know. But it's not like this is it's not the dead-end situation that Mike Pettine talked about. It happens to be a hurdle, a speed bump, and a significant one for Johnny Manziel, because on the cusp of him starting potentially the last 6 games of the season, our biggest concern was, can he, going into the bye week, if he stayed clean, was, can he stay healthy for 6 weeks?
Right.
And now it's, can we see him in the next 6 weeks because of his actions?
Absolutely. By the way, Peter King, since we heard some national people, we don't have audio of it, but here's what he had to say in his mailbag, calling it the Manziel mistake. And this is a quote. This is all everything I'm about to do, quoting Peter King from Monday Morning Quarterback. And I quote, "Let me say first, I understand that Manziel is quite a knucklehead who tells authority figures what they want to hear about being serious in his responsibility as a quarterback in the NFL. Then he goes out and does what he darn well pleases. The Browns quite possibly have already decided there is no chance Manziel is the quarterback of their future. If they have decided this, Cleveland should immediately cut Johnny Manziel. If they have not decided this, Cleveland should play Manziel for the last 6 weeks of the season. The only reason for the 2-8 Browns to show up and play out the end of another miserable season is to see if Manziel has any chance to be the quarterback going forward. There are many reasons to like McCown, who is a better quarterback than you think, but only a short-term answer to the quarterback quandary at age 35. But he's going to be the same quarterback next September, presumably the Cleveland caretaker, if the franchise is smart as he is now. That's why the only smart thing is to see if Manziel has the chance to become more than that. I think it's a mistake to play the last 6 weeks of the season for some noble cause about showing to your team and your immature quarterback that some principle of being a good citizen and non-partier on the bye weekend is going to trump the most important task the franchise has. That task is finding the quarterback for the next decade. This just doesn't help that. That's why it's a mistake." Now, I do think there's some validity to what he says, especially that if you have decided he's not your guy, that you can move on. Now, I would also say you can move, you wait, right? What's the upside in cutting him right now? There's none. There is, the trade deadline has come and gone. Now, in the offseason, you could trade him if that's the decision that you've made with Johnny Manziel. I still believe, and what I like so much about what Mike Pettine said today, is that this is fixable, and that Johnny Manziel, I asked him point blank in preparation for the Mike Pettine Coaches Show on television, 7:30 on News Channel 5 every Thursday. I asked him, is it possible for Johnny Manziel to start a game in 2015 without the quarterbacks ahead of him on the depth chart getting injured? And he said yes. So there is still the chance we'll get to see Johnny Manziel. I think it's going to depend certainly on how he conducts himself in response to what has just happened. But I do agree that you want to come out of this year, and I've said that was priority one all along, so I won't change that. Understanding what Johnny has, I hope Johnny does whatever he needs to do off the field to allow me, you, and everybody listening, and the coaches and the organization, the front office, to get that opportunity to evaluate Johnny Manziel, the football player.
Yeah, God, I hope so, because like I said, we're stuck right there in the middle. If you look at what, if you take Peter King's words, he draws it's very black and white for him. It's cut him now or play him the rest of the six. And what are the Cleveland Browns doing? We're smack dab right down the middle. We're straddling the line. All based on what Johnny Manziel does from this point forward.
Which is tough, man.
It is tough.
You don't want to have to be dealing with this as an organization.
No, because that was what was so frustrating to me is in listening to Petten as we open the show is, you know, Coach Petten, you know, opens his opening comments for 30 to 45 seconds, talks about the Baltimore Ravens, some of the injuries because he doesn't have to file an injury report. You know, then he immediately goes to the statement about Manziel, and not one question that was asked was relevant to this Monday night's football game because the questions were about a third-string quarterback, someone that it's going to take two guys to get hurt or to play miserable for him to even see the football field, maintained everyone's attention for 15 minutes.
He's not going to see the football field this week because I would imagine as a third-string quarterback he will be inactive.
Right.
So even with those,
sure, there you go.
He is not going to be playing this week. But I do think that they have put Dave Dangle the carrot out there again, and he's got to prove it. And hopefully he will do that. All right, 216-578-0850. Let's get a call in for to take a break and get to more of these calls. Dean in North Canton, welcome to CBD.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving to you guys.
Same to you, man. Thank you.
Yeah, hey, one of you just said you asked a question to Petten. Is it possible? Can you give me that question again? You said
is it possible for Johnny Manziel to start another game at quarterback for you in 2015 without injuries to Josh McCown and Austin Davis? And he said yes.
See, just to give context to this, I think if you would have asked him, is it possible for me to get struck by lightning right now? Is it possible? I think Petten would say yes to that, too. So is it possible? Yeah, it is possible. I'm looking at this as kind of a windfall because we always seem to be waiting to the last minute to figure out what do we need moving forward. I think Johnny, whether he wanted to or not, gave us an early Christmas present in helping the team decide that he is not going to be the team of the future. I'm worried now that he's going to pull off a couple of great games and somebody in the front office, whatever it's going to look like later on, somebody in the front office is going to say, well, yeah, I know he's a problem, but did you see those last couple of games? I think he did,
and what I'll agree with you on, is I think what he did, there is he has told you that going into the draft, you need to evaluate the quarterbacks as though you don't have one.
Oh, that's a good way of that's perfect, and I hope they keep that mentality.
They will.
And because, well, brother, I love my Browns, and you had a 19-year-old caller on there, and I can imagine – over the last 16 whatever years that they've been back, and
there's been a generation that has known no success with this team.
Can you imagine? I mean, no cardiac kids, no Bernie, other than watching some reruns. And I get it, but as fans and Matt, oh my gosh, I loved your story about the growth that you had when you were a player.
Powerful stuff.
As a fan, brother. This is going to sound harsh, but I don't care. I'm glad that you pulled through. I hope Johnny as a person pulls through, but I don't care, man.
I'm crying right now, so you know.
Let's go. Let's win, baby. Let's get it going next year, and let's figure out what we got. And I'm glad now that we've got McCown to whoever's going to be the future. I think he's a great I think he can be a great mentor moving forward. But
no question.
Hey, always optimistic. Guys, you got a great show.
Thank
Happy
you.
Thanksgiving again.
Happy holidays to you as well.
And before we grab a break, and I've probably shared this before, I remember my time, and it just what really popped up in my head, and it might be absolutely useless information, but I mean, as he references that 19-year-old Browns fan who has never been able to had an opportunity to really root for a winner, simply because since he's been old enough to drive and to potentially understand the game of football. In San Francisco, I remember I had a conversation with Shante Spencer. He was, I think, a first or second round draft pick by the Niners, had played 5 or 6 years in San Francisco before I got there, and I had only not made the playoffs 1 year of my 6 in San Diego, right? And he's like, and I remember he's locker next to me. He's like, man, we're about to go 8-8. It's going to be great. You know, all you got to do is win this last football game. And I go, 8-8? I was like, you're celebrating mediocrity. You know, 8-8 is a. He's like, bro, you don't know the history. He's like, last 6 years, he's like, we've been 5-11, 2-2, and it's just like, and it was hard for me to wrap my head around having a professional athlete like that never feel success. And so what it allows me now being here in Cleveland, it's like, and I'm growing in understanding. I want to put the past, because I wasn't a part of the past, because I was playing. I want to put that last 15 years behind me, but it's like now doing what I do, you have to understand it because it's the only way that we can relate to these fans and how bad they want a winner and how something like this, as I said, you can take my words for what you want, but it's like this building had a different feel about it when Johnny was named the starter. Not, you know, optimism like we're going to go to the playoffs or we're going to go 6-0, but optimism like, gosh, it's about time we find out what this kid can do. You know, and what's so crazy to me is that the reason why someone passed on him is the reason why he's not our starter. And that to me is very frustrating.
Yes, indeed. All right. When we come back, more phone calls still to come at 2:30. Dan Wetzel from Yahoo Sports wrote a very good article about the Browns' decision to bench Johnny Manziel. It's coming up here on CBD, ESPN 850 WKNR.